from Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 26, 2008. Each week we examine news and trends related to geography and geospatial technologies. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week we examine the role of the recently completed Olympics in geography education. Are we more world-savvy after 2 weeks of intense TV, web, print, and other coverage? But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Now, over the weekend, the Beijing Summer Olympics closed up shop, and the event basically goes into hibernation for another 4 years. And as we look back on those 2 weeks, what are we going to remember? Probably Michael Phelps' 8 swimming gold medals, maybe the fact that the Chinese took more gold medals than any other country. If we were paying attention, we might remember that Mongolia won its first gold medal in these Olympics. It was in judo. Will anyone who followed the games actually be able to say that they learned any more about the world or about geography? Now, in looking back at the coverage that I saw on broadcast television, I have to say I didn't learn much about the countries themselves. I didn't see any maps of where some of the countries I might not be familiar with were. I do have to say that I did miss the Parade of Nations, where they typically have the flag and the map, and that's generally one of my favorite parts of the Olympics, but this year I was unable to watch that. Did I check into the metal map that Google offered? No, I didn't do that until today, getting ready for this podcast. Did I learn more about the state of the world? Well, that, yeah, sort of. There certainly were hushed discussions about Tibet and protests or lack of protests in China on NPR. I did get a very detailed recap of the Tiananmen Square massacre on one of my favorite podcasts that was covering some of the Olympic events. And I was very pleased that in the coverage that I read of some of the folks who won medals about the nature of violence in their countries, in particular in Mongolia and Kenya, after they won gold. But the real question, the bigger, broader question, is does the Olympics help to educate the world about the world? What did you think, Joe?
I think it does. One of my pet peeves is geographic literacy and the lack thereof, and in particular, United States education. And we've talked a little bit about this before in particular and how that's affected the state of departments of geography at various universities. What I came away with was I think it enabled me to say to look into, at least from a high level, using Google or using Virtual Earth, you know what does Beijing really look like? And in fact, in researching for this podcast, I brought up Google Earth. I want to see, at least on a quasi micro geographic scale, what's the relationship of the bird's nest at Tiananmen Square, and just get a feeling for the city of Beijing. I've never been there. I'd love to go. Where do all of these interesting monuments, memorials exist, and what did the Chinese do to get the city ready to host the Olympics? There are various reports about some neighborhoods being revitalized. Some of the more political reports got into saying that they were destroyed, displaced people. And so from a cultural geographic perspective, I certainly learned a lot. It certainly made me look at what was going on there and just get more information about the place. So I think it helped, and I hope it helped from a broader community just get more involved with geography, at least from a high level view.
And I have to agree with you. I think an awful lot of effort was put into educating the world about the city called Beijing. Now, I didn't learn much about the rest of China. I have to say, I got a sense of the geography of Beijing in particular because I was most interested in watching the two marathons, and both times, for the women's and the men's, they outlined the route on aerial or satellite imagery, and I got a sense, as you said, of where the different venues were in relation to one another, how big the city was. So that was really very valuable. But if we take a broader perspective, what about the rest of the world? I mean, the Olympics is this gathering of the nations of the world. Did we get any more insight into all those other nations, again, besides this country called China and this city called Beijing?
No, probably not. I think that if you wanted to know the geography of the world, just hearing the names of the countries wasn't going to do it for you. I did get to see some of that opening ceremony where they introduced the countries and they popped up a little map. And Togo or smaller African countries, you certainly were reminded where they were. But for the rest of the world, no. I wouldn't say that we got a better geographic perspective. I think there's a lot of world events now going on, in particular with the conflict in Georgia, that is hopefully urging people to take a look at a map and get a perspective of where these countries are. Another thing you brought up is, what about the rest of China? Do we know where Shanghai is? Do we know where some of the other major cities were? Do we know where the major oil-producing basins are? From that perspective, I'm not sure we get a broader appreciation of the country of China.
Yeah, and I think there's more that can be done outside of those opening ceremonies where you do get the little map, and typically you get it's as big as New Jersey and has a population of, you know, some more familiar state to those of us in the U.S. from the U.S. coverage. But oftentimes when the countries are mentioned, that's all you get. You get the name of the diver is from Australia, and this boxer is from Slovenia. But that's it. It seems to me that the Olympics, because they're the celebration of this coming together of sport, it gives us this unique opportunity in hopefully a peaceful setting to actually think about geography. And what you were suggesting there was, well, there's so many conflicts going on in the world that we should be looking at a map. So that brings me to my next question, which is, when's the best time to learn about geography? In times of peace and celebration, which the Olympics ideally are for, or in times of conflict?
I think the simple answer to that is you ought to know your geography in regards to major conflicts or major events like the Olympics. So if somebody said, hey, we're going to have the Olympics in Beijing, well, you ought to know where Beijing is, and you certainly ought to know where China is. There's many instances, and certainly well documented, that people do not know the basics. I hope this at least gave people that much information, that they knew the juxtaposition of the countries. Well, where is China with respect to Japan? You know, where is it with relationship to Russia? These types of very basic geopolitical questions, I hope, at least got some people thinking. It's easy, I think, for us in the profession to have an understanding. It's not so easy to get people to understand outside who get only a casual passing of geography and geopolitics and cultural geography, demographic geography.
I think that's very true. And I think anything that we can do to encourage people to look at those maps and get a sense of that geography is terrific. Now, the Olympics are really one of the few times when some of these countries ever get mentioned in passing, and it's every 4 years. In a sense, we need to take advantage of that, and maybe that's another thing we can do in the coverage. Clearly, NBC, the folks who are covering it here in the United States, have been criticized in the past for too much up close and personal and too many of these sort of light, fluffy stories and not enough on the actual sport, so they change that up a little. People seem to be responding to that positively. But maybe there's an opportunity, too, to even take a step further and make a commitment to do a little bit of that education when they have that opportunity.
You wonder how much of it is of interest to people to go that far. I was interested, even this morning, listening to National Public Radio about an instance of a reporter who went as, well, here's where you go and protest. The upshot of that report was that everybody was trying to put a happy face on the Olympics from the point of view that they didn't want to rile people. So, you know, China did their best to put the happy face on, and so you saw the best of China, you saw the best of Beijing. There was some understanding of the basics there, but in general, I think we saw the happy face.
We did, and I think maybe the broadcast coverage folks, when you take a look at some of the print coverage, I was very pleased. I found an article about the first gold medal for Mongolia, and while it goes on about, this was in judo, just a very short little sentence says quite a lot about that geography. quote, families in the isolated country of just 3 million people sandwiched between China and Russia had gathered to watch the event. Many in the capital said they would celebrate by downing vodka, unquote. Now, you know, that may not be the best way to describe Mongolia, but you know where it is. You get a sense of how big it is. You get a sense of how they're going to celebrate. So that gives you some insight into that part of the world. That's the kind of thing that I don't think comes across in some of the TV coverage.
No, I think that's true. If you want to go deeper into some of these understanding, we didn't hear a whole lot about Tibet. That's kind of the happy face side. And there's an area, a region in turmoil, has always been in turmoil, at least from the Tibetan side. And then that area borders a couple of other regions that are also in turmoil, the Pakistani border up in Kashmir. And some of these things are not very well understood. Now, is that the appropriate topic to bring up at the Olympics? Maybe not, but NBC was putting that happy face on it. But
other coverage really did look at it from that perspective and tried to tell the full story. Going on in this article about the winner from Mongolia, right after the June 29th election, we were in Central Square protesting election results and throwing stones against policemen and interior troops. This time we are all here to cheer and support our athletes participating in the Beijing Olympics. Getting to the rest of the story, yes, there was turmoil in Mongolia right after the elections. There was turmoil in Kenya right after the elections, and that was brought out as a Kenyan won a first gold in the marathon this year. That was actually mentioned in the TV coverage, and I was pleased to hear it. So there's a lot of stories that come out. I think we as consumers of Olympic information or Olympic news almost need to make our voices known about what it is we want. And I think this is a real opportunity. And it's a real opportunity. The challenging part about the Olympics from an education standpoint, especially for our K-12 young people in the world, is that at least here in this part of the world, students aren't in school. But that almost makes it a bigger challenge, a bigger opportunity to take advantage of the Olympics as an opportunity to teach geography.
And I think the other thing that even though it's not quite on the topic of the Olympics, is what CNN is doing with respect to the coverage of the election, the presidential election. I think that they're doing just such a fantastic job of having that illustrated map and John King going at the map, going down to the county level. I mean, people get a real sense of geographic awareness and the importance, at least from a demographic standpoint, of why a particular area is very important to the election. I think that's fantastic. I think perhaps that will help to educate more people than what we've seen at the Olympics. We got to congratulate them for even going and reporting the news geographically.
Sure, and that's the U.S. election.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What if we were to take that same technology and put it in the Olympics?
Yeah, definitely is needed.
Why not? NBC seems to have paid lots of money and made some money on this coverage. They could certainly get one of these magic walls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that what has to happen is that geography has to be put in more of in the context of why it's important. From a news perspective, well, we have seen it in the Russian-Georgian conflict. Why are the Caucasus important to that particular region? Why did Russia invade? I mean, I think those things are being explained from a geographic perspective. Again, with the U.S. presidential elections, why is this county crucial for this particular candidate? I mean, those are the types of things that relate news with geography, and maybe the Olympics was too big. There were too much going on to get down to that level. With the U.S. presidential elections, we can probably more focus in on those things, and hopefully that's doing exactly what we want to have happen, which is educate the people geographically, and that has raised the awareness.
And it's also changed expectations. I'm hopeful that with certainly the U.S. and hopefully the rest of the world watching what CNN is doing with its broadcast coverage and its geographic narrative, that's what they will expect for worldwide events like the Olympics. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the 2008 ESRI Health GIS Conference will be held in Washington, D.C., September 28th to October 1st. Come meet and network with peers and thought leaders to discuss best practices and future directions for GIS in health and human services. For more information, visit www.esri.com/healthgis. If you'd like to contact us about today's topic or anything else, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.